Sin is the universal malady of humanity. Sin is the curse of our culture and our society. Romans 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Verses 9 and 10, Romans 3. "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. That is, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." The verdict of Almighty God is that humanity is guilty of sin. And sin is a malady that has affected every human soul. No one has lived upon the earth with the exception of the Lord Jesus Christ without violating the holy will, the eternal commandment of Almighty God. Sin is a problem that affects us both physically, emotionally, and spiritually. In Romans 5, verses 12 and 13, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Through Adam, sin entered into the world. And as a result of that sin came death. Death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Death is the separation between man and God. Sin creates a gulf between the heart of man and the heart of God. God does not associate with sin. God does not affiliate himself with sin, but rather God withdraws from sin and God curses sin. The source of sin is the devil. God is not the source of sin in the world. God is good, just, holy. His commandment is holy, just, and good. Sin is present because of a creature that the Bible identifies as the devil or Satan. 1 John 3 and verse 8, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Those who commit sin, and the word "commit" in this passage of Scripture means to practice, to make a way of life, a manner of life. We walk in sin, we commit sin habitually, continuously, is of the devil. Those who live in sin live after the way of the devil. They follow the devil. They are enticed by the devil. They surrender to the snares of the devil. The devil has sinned from the beginning. The devil caused the fall of man in the temptation of Adam and Eve. The devil continues in the fall of humanity through his temptation, his ensnarement, and the various schemes by which he offers his entanglements. 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, there is the warning given to the church: "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." The Bible treats the devil with great respect. The Bible gives the devil his due. He has the power to devour. And Scripture says that he walks about, even as a lion walks about. The lion stalks her prey. The devil stalks his prey. We must be sober. We must be vigilant. The Bible presents the devil as our adversary, our enemy. He is not our friend. He does not seek to cause us good. He does not bring honor to our life, but rather he is the adversary. In Luke 4, verses 1 and 2, we have the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil is a fearless being. The devil even tempted the Son of God, the one who came to redeem us from sin, the one who came to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3, 8. Was enticed by the devil. The devil offered him the same allurements, the same enticements, and the same snares with which he seeks to ensnare us. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. Even the Son of God was not without temptation. The devil tempted him. Jesus did not surrender to those temptations. Jesus did not sin against God. Jesus lived in absolute perfection while he dwelt upon the earth. But nonetheless, the devil tempted him. The devil sought to deter him from the purpose that God had given unto him. The devil sought to stain his soul, even as he seeks to stain our soul. In Luke 22 and verse 3, then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. This member of the apostolic band, this one whom Jesus had specifically called and had chosen and named as an apostle, the devil entered into his heart. The devil tries to tempt those who follow God, who walk with God, who believe in God. The devil seeks to destroy the hearts of all men, especially those of the righteous. And into Judas Iscariot, Satan entered so that he might turn him from Christ and cause him to rebel against his Lord. In Luke 22 and verse 31, the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he might sift you as wheat." Here the Lord warns Simon Peter, "The devil has desired to have you." Simon was one of those chosen by the Lord, named to be an apostle. Early in the ministry of Jesus, Peter had begun to follow him. Peter had been the one who had confessed, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter is the one who had surrendered his heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and followed in the steps of Christ. And yet here is the warning given to Peter, to Peter by the Lord Jesus Christ, "Satan hath desired to have you." Satan desires to have us. Satan desires to turn the righteous from following God. Satan desires to remove the godliness from our life and cause us to fall into rebellion from God. Sin is the problem that curses humanity. Sin has cursed the home. Sin has cursed the government. Sin has cursed the educational system. Sin has gone into all areas of human life and has become a problem for humanity. We must confess the reality of sin. We must be mindful of the devil and of his work. But sometimes God is blamed for the temptation of humanity. But God does not tempt man. The devil tempts man. James 1, verses 12 through 15 says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted of God,' for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." These verses in the book of James tell us the progression of sin. It tells us how sin begins, the source of sin, and the end of sin. Every man is tempted, the scripture says. He is tried. He is tested. But let no man say that that testing, that that trial, that that temptation is of God. For God does not tempt any man, neither can God be tempted with evil. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust. The fault of sin is the one who sins. The one to blame for sin is the individual who commits the sin. God cannot be blamed for the temptation to do that which is wrong, that which is sinful, that which is in violation of His will, but rather that sin comes from the devil. God does not tempt any man, but every man is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. The devil uses the lust of the human heart to entice humanity. And when lust hath conceived, it bring forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Temptation does not come from God, but rather God provides a way of escape. God provides a way by which we might overcome sin, by which we might conquer sin. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 12 and 13. Wherefore let him that standeth take heed, lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Every individual needs to take heed to himself. We need to be mindful of ourselves. For those who believe that they stand can indeed fall. No temptation has come to you that is not common to man. Temptation is common to all. The devil entices all. The devil tests the faith of all. But God is faithful. God will not allow the devil to tempt you above that which you're able. You remember in the case of Job, the devil wanted to try the faith of Job. But God Almighty put a limitation upon how far the devil could go, what scheme the devil could use in the temptation of Job. God is faithful, who will not suffer us, who will not allow us to be tempted above that which we are able to bear, and will with every temptation provide a way of escape. There is also an escape from sin, always a way by which we might overcome the temptations of the devil. Through our own weakness, through our own lack of strength, we fall victim to the will of the devil. But God will provide the strength and God will provide the way of escape so that we might overcome sin. Sin can be conquered. Sin can be overcome. We do not have to give in to the will of the devil and to the temptation of Satan. We can be victorious over this great enemy that we face, over this vile contamination that curses the hearts of individuals. How does God provide us an escape from sin? One of the ways that God provides for us an escape from sin is prayer. We are to use prayer when we are tempted. We are to seek the favor and the help and the strength, the grace and the mercy of God so that we might overcome sin. Jesus had gone into the Garden of Gethsemane to pray to his heavenly Father before he faced the cross. He took with him into the inner recesses of that garden Peter, James, and John. He came out from having prayed to his heavenly Father and said unto them, "Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Here Jesus gives an admonition to his disciples as to how they might overcome sin. First, watch. Watch. Be aware. Be mindful of your enemy. Be aware of his power. Be aware of his enticements and pray. Watch and pray. Jesus said, if you want to escape from the temptation of Satan and from falling victim to sin, then you need to pray. In Hebrews 4, 15 and 16, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." Jesus is our high priest. Jesus was tempted by Satan. When Satan tempted Jesus and offered those temptations, those ensnarements that we have recorded in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4, Luke says he departed from him for a season. That means to me that Satan came back to the Lord Jesus Christ. There were other occasions where Satan attempted to tempt Jesus. and to bring him into the captivity of sin, the ensnarement of the devil. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And then the admonition, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. As the writer reminds us of temptation, he beseeches us that we approach the throne of grace, that we come to find help and mercy in that time of need. When temptation comes, when the devil offers his ensnarement unto us, we are to go unto the throne of grace, and from that throne we can obtain grace and mercy to help us in that time of need. Prayer is a way that God has provided that we might escape from sin. Quoting Scripture is a way that God has provided for us to overcome sin. We return to the temptation of Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. Jesus was 40 days tempted of the devil. The devil was not able to cause Jesus to sin. Jesus stood firm in his commitment to God. Jesus had come to do the will of God, and he stood steadfast in that commitment that he was here to perform. He was able to overcome. But in every temptation that is recorded in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus responded to that temptation, "It is written." God had written a law. God had written a commandment. Jesus knew what God had written and was committed to doing what was written. When temptation comes, we need to be able to quote Scripture. We need to have a Scripture entombed in our heart, buried in our conscience, whereby we do not give in to the temptation that is offered unto us. In Psalms 119 and verse 11, the psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Why was the psalmist so engrossed in the word of God? Why did he bury himself in the word of God? Why did he commit to memory the word of God? "So that I might not sin against thee." God's word has been delivered as a prevention against sin. Sin can be overcome when we know what God has said, what God is for and what God is against, what God expects of us, how He expects us to live, how He expects us to walk and conduct our life in this world. We can overcome sin by quoting Scripture. We can overcome sin with the armor of God. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, Peter said, "The devil is an adversary." That means he is an enemy. You have to fight an enemy. You go to war against an enemy. You are engaged in battle against an enemy. And to win in war, you need to have the necessary armor. You need to clothe yourself with certain armor as you go into battle with the devil. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul has confronted the church at Ephesus with the truth that we are engaged in this great warfare against spiritual wickedness. Our warfare is not a carnal warfare, as the Apostle Paul points out in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We do not fight this warfare with carnal weapons, but rather we are engaged in a spiritual warfare with a spiritual enemy who is far more powerful than any natural enemy that mankind has ever faced. Put on, therefore, the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Notice that phrase, the wiles of the devil. He is an enticing fellow. He is an ensnaring fellow. He knows me and he knows you. He knows my weakness and he knows your weakness. He knows where to attack. He knows when to attack. He knows how to attack. And so the apostle said, I'm to put on the whole armor of God. I'm to clothe myself with God's armor so that I might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, against the enticing snares of Satan, and so that I might come out of that battle victorious. If I win the battle today, I must fight another battle at some point in my life. There will be continuous battles that I must fight against Satan. He will not give up on bringing me into captivity to his will and causing me to sin and fall away from God. I must arm myself. I must provide no opportunity for temptation. I must not put myself in a situation where I am going to sin. I must not go to a place where I am going to sin. I must not engage in any activity that is going to cause me to sin. Ephesians 4 verse 27 says, neither give place to the devil. That simply means do not give the devil an opportunity in your life and in your heart. We must always walk close to God. You know that the phrase is made concerning individuals in the Bible, they walked with God. That means they had a constant association with God. They did not put themselves in a place, in a situation, where they would sin against God. They did not give the devil an opportunity in their life. We can go to the wrong place. We can go with the wrong people. We can engage in the wrong situation. We must not give the devil an opportunity in our life. God has said, do not give the devil an opportunity for you to sin. I must resist the devil. The devil has to be resisted. You have to say no. James 4 verse 7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. We use the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is a marvelous example of temptation. Matthew 4, Luke chapter 4. The devil came and said, if you're the Son of God, and I'll give you this. And there were several offerings made to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were all very valuable offerings. They were very enticing offerings. They were satisfying offerings. That's what the devil does. He tries to satisfy us in this present world. He wants us to be happy right now. And he will offer us the enticement that will bring that temporary happiness. But there will never be any permanent happiness in serving the devil. And there certainly will not be any permanent peace in the life to come if one serves the devil. What did Jesus do when those temptations were offered? He resisted. He said no. The devil tried again. Jesus said no. He resisted again. And the devil tried again. And Jesus resisted again. And the book of Luke chapter 4 says that he offered every temptation. He reached into his bag of tricks and pulled out every snare that he had in his arsenal and presented them to the Lord. And the Lord said, no, no, no. And he kept resisting. And what did the devil do? He went away. He fled. He came back again. He'll knock at your door over and over and over again. He'll come to my life over and over again. I must constantly resist the devil and he will flee from me. I must avoid dark fellowship. I must stay away from the wrong people. I must avoid the wrong place. I must stay away from the wrong crowd. Ephesians 5 and verse 11 says, have no fellowship, no association, no involvement with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Not only am I not to fellowship with them, but I am to reprove them. I am to rebuke them. Sometimes we seek the wrong companionship. We seek the wrong friends. Some people have married the wrong companion. The Bible says that we must avoid dark, sinful fellowships. We must stay away from people who choose to live a life of immorality, who choose a conduct of ungodliness. They are not to be our friends, for they are not our friends. They will bring us into their dark corner of despair. They will cause us to fall victim to the temptations of Satan. We are to be wise. God has provided wisdom as a means of escape. In Matthew 10 and verse 16, Jesus told His disciples, He said, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." We exist in a den of serpents. We live in a world that is absolutely immoral and ungodly. Jesus has sent us into the world. We live in the world. We work in the world. We play in the world. We eat and we drink in the world. We exist in the world. But in the world, Jesus said, you must be wise. You must know what the world is. You must know the temptations that you're going to face. You must know what you're going to have to overcome. You must have a knowledge of Satan and of his way of life. And we must avoid that. In Ephesians 5 and verse 11, Paul said, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." We're to live in this world with wisdom. We're to know what our strength is and what our weakness is. We're to know where we can go and what we can do. We're to know the limit to which we can go. We are to live as wise individuals. In 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of you, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Paul said we're not ignorant of the devices of Satan. Scripture tells us how Satan operates, how Satan entices. We're to have the wisdom of the power of Satan. We're to understand the schemes of Satan. And we're to know our limitation. We're to understand our weakness. We are to know that we are living in the flesh, and that the flesh is weak. And Satan will attack the flesh. He does not attack the spirit. He does not attack your faith. He attacks your flesh. He entices my flesh. He reaches forth to my lust, and I must have that wisdom in this world if I'm going to escape temptation. Sin is a reality in the world. Sin is a curse in the world. Sin is a cancer that destroys the souls of humanity constantly and continually. Humanity's reputation has been destroyed by Satan. Humanity's conscience has been destroyed by Satan. Humanity's heart has been destroyed by Satan. Humanity's soul has been destroyed by Satan. But God has provided a means of escape. God has provided redemption from sin. God provides forgiveness of sin through Jesus Christ. We must live in this world of sin, in this culture of immorality and ungodliness, without sin. We are to serve the God of heaven and glorify His name. We are to honor His law and walk according to His commandments. And when temptation comes a-knocking, God has provided that we can escape from that sin and overcome the worst of enemies. Live in this world and escape from the temptations of Satan through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus provides redemption for us through faith, repentance, confession, and immersion in water. If we can help anyone in your walk with God,